Well, the Giants are home on Memorial Day. Take on the Angels. Dylan Bundy on the hill for the Angels. 0-5, 6.50 earned run average. 9 straight starts. He's lost a whip of 1.34 and 8.10 OPS. Yes, all those numbers exist. But Jeff Fletcher says he's coming off an ankle sprain and part of the explanation for Dylan Bundy. And on the other side is Johnny Cueto, trying to get things right for him after coming off the injured list. Kerry Crowley joins Bill and I. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. I have to kick this off by giving you credit. Yesterday you said the Giants would hit Clayton Kershaw, and there they did. First inning, 3 runs, and I had the text waiting. I'm generally right, as Extra Bags likes to say. And you said yesterday you were right, and so got to give you credit for that.
Well, you know, it's funny, and you and Bill hit it as well, of getting Kershaw early in the count. My thing with Kershaw is, and I saw it right away, you guys did get him early in the count, and Slater and Solano base hits right away, and it was Urias all over again. And then the pitch count started building up and building up, and I said, this is the way to get him. And really, I thought, from Talkman's catch for the rest of the weekend, and I know it sounds crazy, but sometimes just that one play can turn things around, and I thought that one play turned things around. The Giants just took care of business all weekend, right, Bill?
I believe so, too. I think it was a change in momentum, and that momentum just kept going each day. And when you looked at Buehler, Urias, and Kershaw, when we first started talking about that four-game series, we were talking about winning the first game. That was the most important game to get it going, and sure enough, they lose the first game with the opener, and sure enough, they beat the three best pitchers, I believe, that are throwing for the Dodgers. And, Kerry, you made a great point. That was the first time the Giants scored 3 runs in the first inning off of him in 50 starts. That's an amazing stat.
I mean, historical dominance, that's Clayton Kershaw against the Giants. They've never had a chance against him, Bill. You mentioned all of those count stats yesterday, and we knew if the Giants got deep in the count, it was over for them. Clayton Kershaw's slider has been that good this year, but I really believe, both Bill and Marty, that this Giants team that Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris and Gabe Kapler have assembled, it's never been better equipped to hit a good starting pitcher than it has in the last 10 years or so. You know, Clayton Kershaw can be so tough on left-handed hitters, but the Giants stacked the lineup with righties. They got Dubon in there. They got Slater in there. They got the guys who are going to have success against lefties. And then when you turn around and play a game today against a righty and Dylan Bundy, some of those guys who had success on Sunday, they're out of the lineup. And I know that the platoons drive a lot of fans crazy, but this strategy is working. They're extracting value out of this roster right now. They're 13 games over 500 because the way the roster was built and because the way that Gabe Kapler is managing this club, Marty. I think so many of us had doubts when Gabe Kapler was first hired, but through the first 53 games of this season, he's done a really nice job.
Well, he has. It's working. You know, the bullpen is still a work in progress because of the injuries and trying to, you know, you'd like to get that eighth inning guy settled, the closer settled, the sixth and seventh inning guy settled. So it's not quite like that. So he's handled that pretty well and hasn't come back to bite him too badly. But I think the approach, and we saw it last year, of the 18 coaches and the expanded analytics and the analytic, I can't say enough about it. It's working. It's working. And I was thinking of having Zach Minazian on next week, the director of pro scouting. It's they have the formula. And Farhan learned his lessons well with the A's. It's the same A's formula. But it's finding the people to execute that formula. And these guys have done that. And that, to me, is the most amazing thing. And Kapler stays out of their way. Look at the lineup today. Wade is leading off. He's been, you know, getting hits the last few days. Yastrzemski second, lefty. Dickerson fourth, lefty. Crawford's in there. Duggar's in there. And you look at Dylan Bundy, 24 for 83 against lefties, 289. He's given up 9 home runs and 5 to lefties, so they stack the lineup with lefties. And I think it's a matter of Kapler staying out of the way of the offense and letting the script play out and knowing who to put in on the analytical side. That's my take on it.
Well, I would also argue, Marty, that it's not just finding all of these players to come in like a Lamont Wade or an Alex Dickerson or a Donovan Solano. It is getting the buy-in from the veteran players that they've had. You look at who has led this team this season. It's Buster Posey. It's Brandon Crawford. It's Evan Longoria on offense. And it's really incredible to say that because we go back 2 years ago, Marty, when we were on this show, 2018, 2019, we weren't sure if some of these guys were going to make it to the end of their contracts. Now you've got Posey in a contract year, Crawford in a contract year, and we're talking about potentially extending their tenures in a Giants uniform. Bill, no one saw this coming, and I do think that the coaching staff and the way that Farhan and Scott have kind of engraved this new philosophy into this veteran team has really worked.
I totally agree with both of you, and I think the communication, you talk about all these players on our interviews that we've talked to them, and they're all saying the communication with each coach is just so positive, and they try to reinforce that confidence back into you when you have a bad game or if you go 0 for 4 or DeSclafani giving up 10 earned runs. They're right there to support them. And I think that's a huge, huge something new in baseball because you never had managers texting players or calling them. Mm-hmm. You never had managers do that. And Gabe Kapler does it not only to big leaguers but minor leaguers. And that's a huge, huge plus in any player's career when you have those people behind you, especially when you're negative, when you're starting to fail a little bit and you have that confidence from the manager, your coaches, your pitching coach, your hitting coach, Marty. And this is the flavor of the new game, and this is what's happening here, and they are succeeding through it.
Yeah, because baseball is a game of failure. It's a game, you know, 7 out of 10 times, you know, you're going to make an out. If you do that, you're going to go to the Hall of Fame on your other 30%. So you explain it perfectly, and that is he communicates with every coach, with every player. If a guy does something in the game that doesn't go well, you see him in the dugout going over, patting him on the back. That's just the way the world is today. And winning is, as John Madden said, winning is the best deodorant. And honestly, the fact they're winning and they're winning convincingly in a league that is in transition and they've figured it out. Their starting pitching has been fabulous in a league that's had trouble with starting pitching. Their bullpen's been adequate. They're hitting a million home runs in a time when home runs and walks are a huge part of an offense, and they're getting that done. They're grinding out at bats. So I think the combination of playing good baseball, winning baseball, and being able to communicate the way Bill just described, I think is huge. I think it's huge. It's working. And I think the sky's the limit for them. I really do. The only thing that can hold them back are injuries.
Well, Bill, I would love to hear it now that you brought it up, that Gabe Kapler has, you know, he's gone out of his way to talk to major league players and minor league players, to meet with them in the off season. When he was first hired, he flew to different parts of the country to meet with everyone. I remember he went to Boston to talk to Mike Yastrzemski and Chris Shaw. He was in Florida with Aramis Garcia, Derek Rodriguez, Sean Anderson, and Pablo Sandoval, none of whom are here anymore, but it was important to go to the bottom of the roster and still make those connections. I'd love to hear what kind of connections you had with your managers during your playing career, and if, you know, in the minor leagues, you ever even heard from the major league staff.
You never did, Kerry. You never heard anything from the big leaguers. You didn't hear any communication. You were trying to find out stuff from the AAA manager, which he knew things, but he wasn't going to evaluate them and tell you. Those were things that were all closed doors. Those meetings never happen with players. That's why when I'm saying Gabe Kapler's making these friendships and he's opening doors for other players. You know, I had Zach Littell on yesterday for an interview, and he said he had a phone conversation with Farhan in the early part of free agency. Those things never happened. So, you know, when you're talking to the baseball ops president and you're finding out, hey, he wants me and here's the reasons why wouldn't you come here? Because that doesn't happen in every division, in every team. But it may start because they're seeing something here that's growing and we're evaluating, we're watching it. And I tell you what, Marty, this is something that I think managers and organizations are going to start doing to evaluate players and bring the ones in that they want to get better.
Well, and the key is, you know, bringing someone in. Now, Zach Littell says, yeah, boy, I want to come here. Well, once he gets here, you know, the pitching coaches and the people work on the spin rate and whatever he does, and he's throwing the ball better. So now he has success. Just by calling somebody up and patting him on the back doesn't mean they're going to have success in the big leagues. But the way they're doing it and the information they're given, plus the confidence plus the pat on the back all goes into the mixture. All goes into the mixture. But I think the way that they're teaching has just been amazing because, look, you're taking guys who have never really been in the big leagues before, had moderate success, and all of a sudden turning them into guys who throw 97, 98, and, you know, get the job done. So it you're right. It's a combination, in my opinion, analytics and the confidence that we never saw before. And, Bill, look, I mean, it just as you're talking, I'm saying, well, did Frank Robinson ever pat you on the back and say, hey, Bill, I'm going
to
call you.
This one, Marty.
I'm going to call you. Let's go over to the Wag Hotel and say hello to the dogs today. I don't think that was happening. But
those
that's
didn't
the
happen.
World, that's the world we live in today.
It's true. And I tell you what, Marty, when Murph would come and say, hey, Frank wants to talk to you in your office, the first thing you think of is, what did I do wrong? Not to wait till I do right. You know, that's old style managers. You never had guys talk. Even Jimmy Davenport, who was there for, you know, three quarters of a year, one of the nicest guys in the world, never gave you that insight. They didn't do it. And that was the stern image of the manager back in the day. And I'm sure, Marty, going back in the days in the 60s and 70s, managers didn't even talk to players. You know, it was like, do your job. That's what you're here for. No, I'm going to work on something else.
The old story about Paul Richards, who was a wonderful manager, you know, from the Orioles in the 60s and the Braves and the White Sox. And I tell the story, if Paul Richards was standing here and the pitching coach was standing next to him and you were the third person, Paul Richards would look at the pitching coach and say, tell Lasky he's going to pitch tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't even look at you. Yep. He would tell the pitching coach to tell you that. And that's the way communication was. And I remember those stories that I heard and, you know, read about and talked to players about, you know, later on. So I think it's a great story. I think the whole Giants story is working. It'd be nice to get fans out at the ballpark again and just stay away from injuries. But, boy, it is working, and whatever they're doing, as they said in When Harry Met Sally, whatever she's having, I'm having. And, you know, whatever they're doing, keep doing it.
Yep.
Keep doing it.
Well, they gotta take care of business at home. They've been so much better on the road in the month of May, Marty and Bill. And you look at that 16-10 start to the season the Giants had in the month of April. None of us really thought that that was sustainable. We thought that they beat up on a soft schedule. They beat the Rockies. They took care of business against the Phillies and the Marlins. And now, in the month of April, or in the month of May, excuse me, they've showed that they can hang with the Dodgers. They beat them three times in a row at Dodger Stadium. They've beaten a lot more difficult teams this month. And so the June swoon is a big topic of conversation around here, Bill. But I really do think that the Giants have showed that they're equipped to make it through a lot more difficult stretches of this schedule because they've got the type of starting pitching and an ace in Kevin Gausman who can turn a few losses around. He can be a stopper. And I think that that's another really pivotal point for this team.
No doubt, injuries. Perry, and
injuries,
I tell you what, his
guys. Injuries. His,
yeah, injuries, but I just want to say one thing, Marty. Gausman yesterday just put a show on. I mean, when you look at what he did against Kershaw, the so-called two aces, and there wasn't even a comparison at the end. But I want, you know, Marty and I talked about Noah Ohtani today, and I wanted to get your point, Kerry. What do you think, covering the Angels, Giants, the first person you want to see is Ohtani, mm-hmm. and sure, he's not even playing, so I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Bill, I was devastated. This is the one guy that I want to see in person across Major League Baseball. Any player, I want to see Shohei Ohtani. I want to see him throw 100 miles an hour. I want to see him bat in the second spot of the order and launch a 450-foot bomb into the cove. To me, there's nothing more special going on in sports right now than Shohei Ohtani. And unfortunately, we were robbed of the opportunity to see him pitch because he took the wrong BART train. But who among us has not failed at public transportation in the Bay Area, Marty?
Me. No.
You get off every time at the right stop? No surprise.
I spent a lot of time on the Bay Bridge, let me tell you, because my office was in Market Street, Union Street, and I spent a lot of time on the Bay Bridge, so I know what Ohtani, how you could get jammed up there. And it's too bad. You know, it is. And I agree with you guys. I was sort of shocked when Jeff Fletcher this morning said that Madden said, well, it's too difficult an outfield. I can't put him out there. Come on. As Bruce Jacobs said, this guy can play anywhere and do anything. He may be the best player in the game today. So I was disappointed. But to finish our last thought, You know, and I talk about the cattle drive and, you know, what this whole season is all about. And we've got 2 months down. Injuries are key for me. But now you've got it. Now you're out in the desert, so to speak. You're driving those cattle and it's hot, and you've got to keep winning, and you've got to keep winning. And it's not simple to do that. This is a tough, you know, couple of months coming up for the Giants. Let's hope they do it and they continue on what they're doing. But this is what makes a baseball season. This is where the Brewers start winning or the Cubs start winning or the Marlins get their pitching rotation together. This is what a baseball season's all about. There are no gimmies. And it's a marathon. You know that, Kerry. You catch the ball. He's a good baseball player. And it's a marathon.
More than anything, Marty, it's a mosaic.
It's a mosaic.
I just want to hear you say the word mosaic. That's all I'm here for.
This is what it's all about. So I don't take anything for granted yet. But I say this, we've got some good days ahead of us if all this continues in a healthy way. But that's why we love baseball. That's what makes a great baseball season is you don't know what's going to happen. Bill, you went down the stretch in 82.
Sure.
And think of where you were in May or June and where you were in September, and there's a lot in between.
There is, and there's win streaks, there's losing streaks, there's injuries, as you say, Marty. That's what's great about each month, and Kerry hit it on the nail on the head. May, 17-10, 16-10 in April, and you got one more game left in May, and we would have never thought this in the beginning of the year, but they're catching fire, and I was just so glad when they put this lineup out today. They're going for it, and I'm glad he's putting the pedal to the metal, especially today and tomorrow with Wednesday off, and getting the right players in there to generate some runs, because we know Johnny Cueto can go five innings, and if he's got a lot of runs, maybe push him a little more, Kerry. What do you think out of Cueto today, Kerry? What are you expecting?
I don't think that we've seen the same type of consistency from Cueto, Bill, that we saw at the outset of the season since he came back from that grade one lat strain, but I do think that the changeup has the potential to be really good. It's a pitch that the Angels have struggled with at times this season. Look, there's no Mike Trout in that lineup, and that makes a huge difference. There's no Albert Pujols in that lineup anymore, but that doesn't make as big of a difference, even though the Giants struggled with him this weekend. So, yeah, I do think that five innings would be a good quality outcome for Johnny Cueto right now. I don't see him as a strong point in this rotation, but I do think that he's still a veteran that you can count on, Marty.
Well, for sure. And Scott Kazmir went on the restricted list. He's got a problem at home, and Kerry, you tweeted it out as well. So who's up, Bill? Your favorite guy, Connor Menez.
Yeah.
So if there's trouble, I'm telling you, the left-handed relief for me is critical, you know, without Barriger in there. So if you get five innings out of Cueto or into the sixth inning and you need the lefty, maybe it's a little early for Menez to come in and try to get his feet wet, but I think he's going to be a big part of what we see.
Yeah, the one thing I like about Connor is he pitches to contact, throws strikes, and we're seeing a lot of these relievers come in, walk the first hitter. We've seen him last year in the beginning of that 60-game season throw the ball real well, and then they just sent him off to AAA. We didn't see him much, but he's been throwing pretty good lately for Sacramento. He's on the roster, and I think that has a lot to do with it, Kerry.
Yeah, Connor Menez and Zach Littell in the same bullpen. Only way you can tell them apart with their big red beards. One throws from the left side, one throws from the right, Marty.
I was just going to say that. I said if he comes in wearing the glove on the other hand, Bill, you can have him on tonight and make him Littell again.
Extra innings, Bill Lasky. Yeah. There's your plug. There's your
And here's you know, here's Zach Littell too tonight.
So, that's good.
Yeah, he's got the big beard, but yeah, Menez is up and good. So I expect, truthfully, I expect a good game out of Cueto. I expect a bigger game than five innings. I don't think he's going to struggle as much. This is an Angel team that has been in trouble, and I think even without Ohtani in the lineup and yeah, Justin Upton and you know, has hit Cueto a little bit, but. I think Cueto's going to have a good game today. And look, they should win these two games. Mm-hmm. You know, the Angels, are, even though they split with the A's, the Angels are struggling. It's an American League team in a National League park. National League always has an advantage there. So for whatever it's worth, I think they're going to have a good game today. All right, Kerry, what do you got coming up? You have an interesting interview coming up.
Alex Stimson, the voice of the Eugene Emeralds, the new Giants affiliate up in Eugene. Marty, really excited to talk to him about all the great pitching performances he's seen this season. He's also broadcasting Will Wilson's games, and you know how much I like Will Wilson as a prospect. So
yeah, Will
there
Wilson
you have it.
Can, he can hit. He can hit in batting practice. He's a good BP hitter. But Alex Simpson is so excited that he's now following me, and he has tweeted out that he can't wait to come on to talk Eugene Emeralds with you.
Yep.
So very good.
There we go.
All right. So I can't wait to hear this. All right. So we'll take a break. Kerry will be back with Alex Simpson from the Eugene Emeralds right after this.